Heavenly Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Amen. Is your family rich? Rich in material things? Wealth is a comparative thing. So, yes, I am rich when I compare my lifestyle with that of a family living in a mushanga in Tanzania. A mushanga is a round house made of grass and strengthened by large branches from a tree. Living on a dirt floor with no indoor plumbing, no electricity, and always wondering where the next meal is going to come from, such a life makes mine look like the lifestyle of the rich and famous. On the other hand, when I compare my lifestyle to that of Donald Trump, I might imagine myself to be poor. Now let's make another comparison. How does the debt that I owe to God compare with the debt that my enemy owes to me? Well, let's see. What has my enemy done? What sins has he committed against me? Oh, yeah. I remember the time when... The time? You mean there was only one time? Well, no, there's this other time when he... So there are two times? If I try very hard, I might be able to think of three or four times. But believe me, they hurt. Now, what about the debt that I owe to God? Three or four times that I have sinned? Well, maybe in the last hour or so. Let's say that you are 17 years old, and each day you break each commandment at least once. That means that throughout your young life, you have already sinned against God 61,880 times. The truth of the matter is that we break some commandments more than others, and that the sum total is far more than 10 per day. In the 17 years of your short life, you have accumulated a staggering debt against God. As the psalmist says, "My iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs in my head. Therefore my heart fails me." Compare this to the debt that your worst enemy owes to you. Why, considering what I have done to God, my enemy looks like a saint in comparison. What a piddling little sum he owes to me. The time and energy that I expend by being bitter toward my adversary would far better be spent meditating upon the enormity of my own sins and crying unto God for forgiveness. I was once in a church that had flame-shaped light bulbs on their candles. Above and in front of the altar were bright spotlights. When the spotlights were off, the candles shed their own muted light upon the altar. However, when the spotlights came on, the bulbs, though still lit, the bulbs on the candlesticks actually created a shadow. Even so, the sins of our enemy, which seem so glaring to us, those sins completely lose their glare when the blazing light of our own sins falls upon them. The problem is that when we do not forgive the debt that others owe to us, we will fail to seriously meditate on our own sins and the debt we owe to God. When we bear a grudge against someone because of what he did to us, we are minimizing the magnitude of our own sins against God. And then when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are not really serious. When our lips say, "Forgive our trespasses," our hearts are saying, "Even though they are not that bad, at least not as bad as what that guy did to me." We utter the words, but we don't really mean it. Rather, our hearts ought to be thinking, "Forgive my debts, dear Father, for there is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. When we pray in this way, how can we possibly think that the sin committed against us is so terrible that it cannot be forgiven? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Do you mean it? Of course, you should realize that the Greek word for as does not mean in exactly the same way. Then no one would be forgiven, for no one forgives perfectly. However, the two parts of this petition are absolutely necessary. They go hand in hand. When one hand reaches up for God's love, the other hand reaches out in love toward our neighbor. It cannot be otherwise. The heart that has embraced God's grace in Christ Jesus will not soon forget that grace when that heart looks upon others for whom Jesus died. Once we stood before the throne of God with the mountain of our debt crushing us, then came this Jesus of Nazareth. He lifted the crushing burden off our shoulders and placed them on his own. Then he stood before the throne and was condemned in our place for our sins. So Jesus has paid the debt, paid it in full. Nothing remains for us to pay. May the Lord fill us with a clear realization of the magnitude of our own debt and of the greater magnitude of God's grace. Then as we pray the fifth petition, we will pray in full confidence that all those sins are forgiven. Then we will pray with a sincere intent that his grace will create in us such a love for our fellow men that we will, in our hearts, erase the debt they owe to us. We will sing hymn 171, verses 7 and 11.